We are grateful that we can be here again to worship, to give honor to God for that what he has done for all of us and what he will continue to do until the end, until we come from believing unto seeing. By the grace of God, we want to persevere until the end. For whoever perseveres until the end shall be crowned. And so we put our trust fully in the grace. May God bless us together this evening, speaking to us. We are grateful for all who come to hear the word of God, and we hope that God's word will accomplish in all of us in the end for what it was sent for. I don't believe that God's word can return void. Words of men, it may dissolve in nothing, but God's word is substance in itself, and it will bring forth what the Lord promised. There are special prayer requests which we have and which we also will bring to the Lord tonight. In particular, for Brother Jackson from South Africa, whom we all know. He is on the point of going home, and he sent a message that before he is going home, he at all costs he wants to see me still. Since the beginning, we were joined in the love of God, deeply joined. And when some storms were raging and some winds were blowing, he had the courage. And he stood before hundreds of people. He stood up, and as I can remember, he said it literally. It's probably on a tape still. He gave a testimony which no one else testified of until now, in reference to the ministry which God had given. And may the Lord bless him for it. May he be with him in the hours of trial. Should it become suddenly necessary, I have established the contact there. If it would become necessary that I fly there, then I, of course, would include Kenya and Zambia, Malawi, Zimbabwe, and South Africa, including these countries, to justify this journey. Until now, I always did it like this, that every journey which I planned, I arranged it in such a way that I visit as many places and cities as possible to justify the price, the costs of the journey. Then we have other prayer requests, which I don't want to say tonight here. One phone call from Brother Kupfer, who is sending greetings, wishing us God's blessing. And there are some troubles here and there, which we will bring before God. And I almost want to ask, who has no request which he would have to bring before God? Be it for oneself, be it for his relatives, or for brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we know that we pray to a living God who answers prayers. And also this, I may not forget to say, that yesterday We had a very blessed funeral. All can testify who were there. Our very old sister, Alma Schmidt, she of course passed. And the relatives are all unbelievers. But the word of the Lord left a deep impression. The daughter came with her fiancé. At the evening she came. And once again she shook hands with me and she said, "May God bless you." We all were blessed. And so we believe that the Lord, through His Word, speaks to the people. Whatever might be, somehow God will find His own, calling them out. Let me say it once again. We are grateful for all who under the sound of the word are coming. And when I read now the sermons of Brother Branham and look at them, then I have the impression that right now it is very important to tune in, to get the connection and to be part of it when the Lord with His church comes to the completion. We also, although the shipping took place just last Wednesday, the first remarks and comments we received of the sermon and of the new circular letter, and when all the comments are in the way as them who were given until now, then we can reckon with a mighty blessing and victory of God. I'm really convinced that God's word will win at the end. And that it will be the last word which will be said. When in the word of introduction, this Old Testament word came forth with a word in verse 22, it said, "I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." There, I had to think by myself how totally different it is today. After the grace of God has filled and renewed our hearts, transforming them, there's no perfect hatred in a quickened child of God. Only he who is dead in sins and transgressions, the enmity was put between the two seeds, namely, according to Genesis 3, after the fall, the Lord said, "I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed." So, the enmity is in the seed of the enemy. And the reconciliation and grace is in them who were reconciled and pardoned. And when all the hatred will be at the end, and everything else what comes from the devil, the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and everything what is from God will remain for all eternity. And so we can just thank the Lord with all our hearts that He touched us on our inside and that He changed our lives by His grace. I looked up the word from Matthew chapter 5. Here it says from verse 43, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father who is in heaven, that ye may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. Herein is the all of the mystery. When the love of God was poured out into our hearts, then we cannot do otherwise but to love. Then not eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Then we leave the teeth for the dentist, and the eyes we leave it for the oculist. And then we are satisfied with the grace of our God, which was given unto us. And the heart we leave to our God, who has purchased it and who took dwelling in it. In chapter 6, from verse 14, it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The forgiveness of God on all the line, all along the line, was given to you and to me. And also to forgive one to another. Because actually, everything is one forgiveness. What's all about? This is the forgiveness of God. A man from himself cannot forgive. And then he can even say, yes, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. With God, it is totally different. Although he has a phenomenal memory from eternity to eternity, and if we also sometimes forget some things, but God says that he has thrown our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and that we may come into his presence. Now, in the last meetings, we dealt with the sermons of Brother Branham, and we will hardly have a service here without to deepen ourselves into these sermons, because we believe that God has spoken to us through them in this time. We believe that this word is the word of God, and in the same way we know that everyone understands the Bible in the way he understands it, and interprets it as he interprets it, and believes it as he believes it. And in the same way we know that God has sent his servant and prophet not to give his opinion, not to interpret, but based upon the divine revelation to say that what should be said, and to reveal that what should be revealed. And therefore, we deepen ourselves in both, into the word and into the sermons. And sometimes I have to say it, because right now I mentioned Kenya, and in this sermon, the future home, some things will be so strong that we will just sit here, and that we ask ourselves, Lord, how shall it go on? And I can still remember the mistake which I made in Kenya. There, the question was asked to me. It was in Machakos. There, the question was asked to me, Brother Frank, who may partake of the Lord's Supper? And spontaneously, so frank as I am from nature, I said, Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ with all his heart, that he died for him on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood, he may partake of it. And I was even of the opinion that with the full conformity of the Word of God, I have spoken this. And then a brother asked the question. He opens up a sermon of Brother Branham and says, but Brother Branham says here that only who is filled with the Holy Spirit or sealed with the Holy Spirit, he may partake of it. And then I have answered the question in my way. And right now, I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, a brother asked me the question, and suddenly it struck me out of the blue sky, and I had to say, beloved brother, just understand. Paul just has written to the believers who received the salvation of God in full measure. And when Brother Branham says that the new birth is not finished with the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet, then it's also a hard saying, but it's a true saying. So we must now go on our knees. There's no way around it anymore. Neither you nor I can get away of it. And I dare to say that God means it well with us, undescribably well, and that he tells us the things so clear that no one can bypass it anymore. And I think we can forget all our views and opinions, and this forever, and we'll just simply align with the Word of God, aligning to not fall into our own thoughts. At that time, I was 100% sure of my thing, that I said this in the will of God, answering these questions, without understanding that in the early church, when Paul came into a city, his first question was, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He didn't start in a different way. And so all the letters were written. And so we must see them. And so we must go on our knees. And so we must pray until God answers us according to apostolic pattern. There's no other way than that way which was shown to us in the Word of God. Now, somebody might say, how was it in the time of Luther, in the times of Wesley, in the times of Finneys and Moody's, and who they were? We are not living in the days of Luther. We're not living in the days of Wesley. We are living in the days of the completion of the New Testament church, where the end must become like the beginning was, 100%. And this is the thing which we must recognize. We must understand what is meant with the restoration and with the correcting. And we must know that we are meant with it, who we are hearing God's word. And we must know that we are included into all that what God planned. Therefore, I think that it is important to get the connection now to the working and moving of God. And believe me, there where there are still own opinions, there God cannot answer. There people will answer. But this will not help anyone. We want, in as much as God helps us, and as much he gives us sincerity in our hearts, everything what he requires from us, We want to fulfill it. And everything what he promised, we want to believe it with all our hearts. In this moment, we will not have to wrestle or supplicate much. Then God's power will be manifested in the gatherings of the saints. Then God's presence will be there, and the confirmation of his word will take place. In the sermon, which I dealt with already last weekend, with the title, The Token, there are some wonderful things written in it. I want to read now, almost at the end, what Brother Rim said. And then I will come back to the midst of the sermon. He says, now, with our heads bowed, just a moment, with faith, believing, I have prayed for you. With all that I know how, I prayed with sincerity, with all I know how to pray for you. Look, I realize that it is by your tithes and offerings that I live. It is by your support here at the church that I have somebody to preach to. It is your love. And then this word, Lord, by your grace, with your help, I claim everyone that hears this message. I claim them for God. I pray thee, Lord, both these here this morning and those that will hear it on tape. And if there be a seed anywhere that's predestinated, Lord, to hear the word of this last day, may they come now sweetly and humbly and lay themselves down at the cross as trophies of the grace of God that has called them. This was actually the passage which I wanted to read. Here, Brother Branham asks, prays for all those who hear the message, who are called out, who come to the faith, not only who are listening there that moment, but who will still hear on the tape. And then there are some other passages which I still want to read. Please, don't be angry with me. We mean it well with us. We mean well with you, with our salvation. And together we understand our ground before God. Here it speaks of the blood which the children of Israel were applying to the doorposts when they came out of Egypt. And the Lord divided the sea, taking his people as his possession, making the covenant with them. It says, it's the token that's required. No matter how much you have done, how good you are, when the wrath of God flashes, only the token will be recognized. It is the token for which the price has been paid that was required. And the price that was paid was the life of Jesus Christ. He gave his life, and his spirit comes back upon you as a token that you were received. This is something mighty, very clear in itself. The Lamb of God has shed the blood for the forgiveness, and upon all the redeemed comes His Spirit. His life comes into them. This is the divine confirmation for you and for me. And as it's expressed here, this is the token. It continues. They saw it at evening time. He showed them His goodness. He showed that He could take it away and heal. The magicians tried to do the same thing. They were impersonators. You always find them. There was Jannes and Jambres. They stood there. But when it came to the real thing, they didn't have it. They followed along a little while. But after a while, their folly was made manifest. And doesn't the Bible say that the same thing will happen in the last days? As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. God has given mercy to His people. And if you look at the plan of salvation, if you look at them with natural eyes, then we could say, oh God, why all these Israel children had to die at the birth of Moses? Why so many children had to give their lives when the deliverer for Israel was born into this world, who was abandoned and given over to death in the basket? One could ask, Lord, why all the children had to give their lives when You were born, coming into this world? And the prophet Jeremiah already said, Rachel weeps for her children, and lamentation is in the tents of Israel. Would not it behoove God better that rich blessing of God comes and that all are enjoying the blessings of God? We think humanly. God's ways are totally different than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We cannot put many things together, and we also don't have to waste our time for it. One thing we want to do, believing God with all our hearts and leaving everything else to Him, following Him with all our hearts and saying, Lord, we thank You that You have spoken to us. Everything else we will hear and know at the right time. I read. Now, for a moment, let us be silent. And let us remember the thing what He promised for these last days. What will still come to pass? I'm asking myself whether we don't have to examine ourselves. He includes Himself, you and I. We want to include ourselves. It continues. The judgment follows the grace. When the mercy is rejected, only judgment is left. So was the sequence always. Now, understand the picture. Every spiritual event is a sign from God. Be careful. to every spiritual happening. Everything that happens is a sign. We are also not here by accident. These things just don't happen by accident. It is a sign. It is a sign. We had better get to safety quickly. With this, he spoke to them who listened to his sermon. Today, we are spoken to. And as the word came through Moses, Elijah, through all the prophets in the Old and New Testament, whether we have today have a letter from Paul to Timothy, to Colossians, to the Galatians, wherever we find these letters addressed, just be honest. All of the Word of God is addressed to all of the people of God at all times, at all places. And the Word which we have heard is addressed to us. And so, we want to receive it by faith. It continues. Noah was a sign to his generation. Elijah was a sign to his. John was a sign to his. So the message of the hour is a sign. Everything has a meaning. At no other time could this type of a message ever happen. It could not have come in Luther's day. It couldn't have come in Wesley's day. It couldn't even have come in the Pentecostal day. It couldn't do it. Here, Brother Branham goes through all the stages. He didn't ignore this spiritual development. He saw it as necessary and also dealt with it to reach the final stage. And then it says, oh, precious people, dear brothers and sisters, get under the token quickly. Don't take a substitute. Don't do it. Just don't take something. Remain, stay there until you know that the token is applied, until the mind that was in Christ is in you, until all the nonsense of the world is gone, until the whole heart's desire is Himself. Then you know that something has happened. These are, of course, words addressed to you and to me. Very serious words. And we see that God's people were on his heart. He not just preached. He wanted to see the fruit of this sermon in the presence of God. And when Paul writes to the Corinthians, I have to again travail in birth for you, then it was not an easy thing for him. Man of God, who really received a divine call, they carry such a heavy responsibility as no one else on the earth can imagine. But we see it in all them whom God has sent. It continues. Oh, what a perfect thing that is. You are under the blood. Now you are under the Spirit, under the Holy Spirit. You believe the message of the day. You believe the power, the pillar of fire. You believe and you know that it is so. Can this be said from us? Ye are under the blood, this we believe. But there are three who bear record the word, the water, and the blood, or the spirit, and so forth. You know the word from 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Not only blood, but also spirit. Ye are under the blood, and now you are under the spirit, under the Holy Spirit. This is something wonderful and precious. This we want to experience in the true sense of the word, that we all place us all consciously under the redeeming blood of the Lamb, remaining in the presence of God until the Holy Spirit can come down on this blood-bought flock now at the end, just as it came down at the beginning. Because before that, not the same things can happen. Only by the same effects and experiences, the same results can follow. Then it says, being sanctified is not yet the token. The blood alone is not the token. The life is the token. At that time, the life could not come back because it was an animal which was sacrificed. The blood which was applied on the door was the token. At that time, the literal blood had to be applied on the doorposts. But now, it's the Holy Spirit. We are coming to it in just a moment to prove that the life is the token, the evidence. Your life is gone and you are dead. And your life is dead. You are hid in God through Christ and sealed in there by the Holy Spirit. The mind that was in Christ is in you. Christ and the Bible and the Word are the same. Brother Branham, as Paul, he showed the believers, as a divine fact. And in another way, we cannot preach the gospel by faith. Whoever preaches it by faith must already put it as a divine fact according to the scripture, that we should speak out by faith, and then it will be given to us. But I think we may no longer just console each other, but we must pray that the Comforter comes down on us. It's a big difference whether we console each other and comfort one another, or whether the Holy Spirit comes down as the Comforter, making the Word of God alive in us, and so the life of Jesus Christ can be manifested. So we see, it's not just a message which enriches us with knowledge, but a message personally addressed to us who we will have part in the rapture, in the first resurrection. We must have the sealing with the Holy Spirit. It continues. Israel's coming out of Egypt was a type of today. Egypt represented the left behind church, and Israel represents the bride. Now pay attention. When I read this passage, I was thinking by myself, one moment please, Egypt shall represent the left behind church. What has Egypt to do with the church? And what shall I tell you? I looked it up straight. I just turned the page. And here it's written the following. The coming out of Israel from Egypt was a type to the church, which is now coming out of the denominations. You see how one word illuminates the other and explains it so that no question can remain? It continues here. Oh, it should make our hearts leap. We as the bride church should apply it. Don't fail. Don't rest day nor night, for the sun is about to set. Don't rest day nor night. Don't take a chance. It won't work, children. Here a man of God speaks with a fatherly heart. As Paul said, you have many chaste masters, but a few fathers in Christ. Children, don't take a chance. You will lack it. What does John write? Little children, I write unto you. What was it? It were fathers in Christ who had part in the new birth of all these children of God. And it was, they were not ignorant what happens with them. They wanted to see them perfect, completed. And it was never different. And it will also never be different. Here it says, oh, it should make our hearts leap. Yes. It's a deep joy in our hearts. And nevertheless, this joy is saddened by the circumstance that we didn't experience yet these things yet. And nevertheless, we dare to speak it out by faith and already thanking God for it. But when will God put himself into our way so that we cannot bypass left or right, that we cannot go forward or backward, and just persevering here in the presence of God until he can answer? And it will be so. And only then it will be so, when we reached it and when he can say, Lord, I can no more. I can't no more. I neither left or right nor forward, backward. I must have an experience with you now. Don't rest day nor night. Don't take a chance. How often we heard it of the virgins who go out to meet the Lord. And one day, Matthew 25 will be history. And what then? Then the question will be, on which side we have stood. Don't rest day nor night. Don't take a chance. It won't work, children. It will not suffice. You must have the token. You say, I believe. Yes, I believe the message. That's all right. That's good. But you must have the token. Do you hear all who you are gathered here? You must have the token displayed. Without it, all your believing is in vain. Of course, Brother Branham said on a couple of places, he said, the token is that therein that one believes the message for this time. But he said more than that. He says here, you say, I believe the message. That's all right. That's good. But you must have the token. All ye, hear this, who you are gathered here. You must have the token displayed. Without it, all your believing is in vain. And may God prevent this with you and with me and with all of us. That we would have believed in vain. The biblical faith must be followed by the biblical promise so that it can become a reality in our lives. And all we must bow our heads ashamed to the ground from which we were taken and must say, Lord, so long we said that we are believers, where are all these things which you promised? After we have done this, we may then lift up our heads and we may know that our Lord is high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and that he helps our infirmities, and that he intercedes for us, and that and he will bring his promises to fulfillment in us. He continues, the whole thing works together. If you say you are circumcised by the word, then you will believe the word. If you believe the word, then the evidence has to come, for it is written, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There you are. Can it be said more clear? Can God give us a greater offer than to show all his counsel, to reveal all of his word, and to revealing his secrets to us, and then filling us with all his power, so that all his word can be manifested through his bright church at the end, finding confirmation. You know precisely that I was in many countries and many religions and their representatives are on their way, and all are presenting their opinions, not only among the Christian denominations, but also others. Believe me that many times in my heart, the sigh and the longing has come in my heart, O God, manifest thyself as in the days of Elijah. And since I was there on Mount Carmel, seeing this huge monument with Elijah on top of it, the sword in his hand, sometimes I had to think about. And we all must expect that God always used men to whom he could speak, through whom he could speak, in whom he was at work and through whom he worked to manifest his program here on this earth, to continue it and to bring it to the completion in this time. When God has given us this grace and has led us until now, shall he now abandon us here? Shall he now complete his work? This we believe. He will do it. That's how it is written. God completed his work on the seventh day, and then he rested of all his work. God completes in the seventh church age the redemption work with his church. And only then comes the rest in the millennium after the wedding supper of the Lamb. All things in the Holy Scripture, of course, agree in unconformity. May God really have spoken to us through this word. And the answer will not come sooner until we cry out to God. I don't mean now because we are used to it as a habit, but really from the deep desire of our soul. But one thing is sure, it's written in the Word of God, it's written, open your mouth and I will fill it. There's no possibility of the filling of our heart with the Spirit of God when the mouth is not being opened to praise God for the redemption, for the blood, for all that, what he has done for us. Sometimes we are like a closed up vessel. May we before God be open, coming into his presence, saying, Lord, these sermons were preached after the opening of the seven seals. And we know precisely that by the opening of the seven seals, a sign, a cornerstone was put, and that all the sermons which were preached afterward are more and more going deeper and deeper into the secret revelations of God. And more than ever before, we are told in depth what it is really now all about. We who have been counted worthy to hear all this should, by the grace of God, not because of our worthiness, but all that, what he promised, we should receive it and we shall experience it. I believe it with all my heart. For this reason, the sermon was preached not to depress us, leaving us lying there. No, to show us what God requires. And here's the wonderful message. What God requires, this he must give himself. We cannot take it from our own. He himself must give it. And here comes the word of the apostle for our help. How should God not give us everything with him? And then the word of Peter. Ye are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Did we experience this until now? Peter put it as a divine fact. And there where this being believed, there God can make these things a reality. And we all cannot do otherwise. But just to believe as the scripture has said. And then God will stand to his word and will give us the answer. Just one passage, and with this I close. Israel's coming out of Egypt was a type for the church, which is now coming out of all denominations. Now comes the small sentence. I speak of the bride. You see, he makes here the difference. I speak of the bride. The bride comes out. And to them we want to belong. And it is our sincere prayer that still many, when we say the word many, that all who were chosen before the foundation of the world They will hear the call and they will come. And they will be blessed by God. And by grace they will be completed, perfected. May God bless us tonight together. May we recognize, if already the blood of the Lamb at a time in Egypt was sufficient to protect the firstborn of Israel, and the destruction angel could not come into the houses, let us now believe that the blood of the Lamb of God was, the blood was shed for a token, for reconciliation, for redemption, for forgiveness. And may the Holy Spirit come down, and us who we believe, may He fill us, sealing us, and may the life of Jesus Christ be worked in all of us by grace. Do you also have this longing in your heart? Oh, when this longing becomes so great that we cannot do otherwise, and I tell you, these sermons of Brother Branham will, you and me, they will force us on our knees, and they will bring us to the point until God can fulfill what is necessary for the rapture. From now on, there's no way around it anymore. We can just forget it. We must, with all what we are and all what we have, we must surrender to God. Because the hour has come in which God, before we give everything, He requires everything from us. And you know precisely, the fire fell not to the ground. The fire came always onto the altar. And before it could fall onto the altar, the sacrifice had to be put upon it. There is no other way. Don't look for it any longer. Just say, Lord, here I am. Take me and bless me. May the Almighty God do it by His grace in you and in me, in all of us tonight. Amen. Together we thank you for the faith which you have given to the saints once for all. The faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who as the Lamb of God died on the cross of Calvary. The faith, the perfect redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness. We believe in the perfect salvation. We thank you that you have spoken to us. Hallelujah. Thanks be to you, the called out ones. You will prepare them. You will lead them home, O God. You have sent your word and you made us well. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, by faith we come to you. Lord, not only in a general faith to ask something, but in the perfect faith of your perfect revealed word, which shows us your perfect will in this time. O God, answer thyself from heaven to your people on this earth, because you are dwelling in the Holy of Holies, and with them you dwell who are of a contrite spirit and of a broken heart. And I thank you that today you are present. I thank you and I praise you, your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I'm redeemed by your blood. Oh, I have it so nice. Hallelujah. The Savior is mine. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be saved. I'm redeemed by your blood. Oh, how wonderful it is. Hallelujah. The Savior is mine. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be saved.